the time. He's a good, good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a good, good God. He's better than that. He's better than that. I dare you to ask God, prove yourself. Prove that you love me. Come on now. Prove that you're a good God. See, he understands that. He won't take that wrong. He understands that you need that confirmation. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that was a hindrance to me moving to Ahoskie at the end of my military career, I just couldn't see it. I really just couldn't see it. Back in 1986, there wasn't very much here, even compared to what's here today. I mean, really, the shopping center wasn't, a lot of stuff wasn't here. And I'm saying, what in the world would I want to go live in that place? Amen? Not putting it down, but it just wasn't in my aspirations a place to go to and retire and do whatever next in my life. Amen. But see, I realize now that all I was really thinking about was me. And about the way I look at things and what I like and what I don't like and what I wanted. Amen. You know, it was very, very selfish of me. I never once asked God, really, how can I help you out? Amen. I never once. It was all about what I wanted at the time. But now I realize, hey, listen, all God ever wants is to be a good God to us. We need to grab a hold of that thing. All he ever wants is to be a good God to us. I just couldn't see it in 1986. I just couldn't see it. I went to God, I know 20 times, say, are you sure? I figured that God had probably sent one of his underlings, one of his angelic servants to talk to me, and he got it wrong. And I wanted to tell that angel, why don't you go back and ask God what he really wants? Because surely he doesn't want me to move to Ahoskie. All I was thinking about was my comfort, my needs, what I wanted in life. But how many of you know there's something much bigger than any one of us that God is doing? Amen? Let me tell you something. If God has blessed you, there's a reason for it. And the reason is much bigger than you could ever even imagine. But he's never going to tell you to do something, listen, that's not in your best interest. Amen. Why? Because he's a good God. Yes, he is. And the subtopic today is that God's goodness has no limits. Amen. Your goodness may have a limit. My goodness may have a limit. But God's goodness has no limits. None. None whatsoever. No limits at all. None. I want to start off by just reviewing what we talked about in the last couple of weeks here about God's goodness. We started off saying that God loves everybody. Amen. Even when folks are not in the presence of God and not in the position where he wants them to be, he loves everybody. That's why you got saved. That's why I got saved. Not because we deserved it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. The whole world, not just Ahoskie, amen, not just North Carolina, not just America, but the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And that's what you and I have got. Those of us that have given our lives to Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. Hallelujah. If you make a mistake, just ask God for forgiveness and keep on rolling. But mean it when you say it, amen. Secondly, we say that you can trust God with your life. And we took you to Proverbs 3:5, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Lean not. And then we say that God isn't confused about what's good and what's evil. And I told you to review the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, the whole chapter, because the first part of the chapter talks about the blessings that you get from submitting yourself to God, and the rest of the chapter talks about the evil that'll come upon you if you submit yourself to the devil. That's the only two choices you got. Amen. That's the only two choices you got, submit yourself to God or submit yourself to the devil. And then we say that God won't leave you out. Some people are so afraid they've done some things, and now they miss God. No, you can't miss God. Not if you want him. 1 John 1:9, we took you there. And we says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, we want to talk about the vastness of God's goodness. It's so big, it'll blow your mind.
Amen.
How'd you like to have a bank account where you could never run out?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be nice? I think it'd be nice. A bank account where you could just never run out.
Amen.
Just never run out. Well, that's how God's love is. He'll never run out of his love. Never. Not at all. As we look around, we see all kinds of people who are not experiencing the goodness of God that we've been talking about. Maybe not necessarily in this room, but around in our circle of influence. See, if we're not careful, we'll begin to declare that there's a limit to God's goodness. But there's not. There's no limit to it. The Bible says God is love. He is love. He is love. Man, let that sink into you. It says God is love. That's who he is, love. I told God, I said, God, I don't understand that. He said, you don't have to understand, just believe it. He is love. As a matter of fact, there's a limit to God's goodness, but the limits are on our side, not on God's side. We're always the limiting factor. Always. Not God. Not God. See, when we fail to listen and obey his voice, we set a limit. We set a limit when we lack understanding of his goodness. We also set a limit to God's goodness when we lack faith to believe his goodness.
Amen.
That's what this whole thing is all about. We're so used to doing. You know, even in school, they say, okay, study, get some good grades, and get your diploma, do this, do this, do this. It's all about what we are doing. We've been conditioned from birth that way. You know, you do this and you'll have this outcome. You do this and you'll have this outcome. But it's not about you and I anymore. It's not about you and I anymore. And so, unfortunately, so many confessing Christians are trying to earn their way into God's favor. You can't do that. There's nothing you can do. There's not enough that you could do to really earn God's blessing. Nothing. Nothing at all. I want to talk to you just for a minute that God has plenty of goodness. Plenty for all of us. I don't care what row you're on, he got plenty for your row, the next 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 row.
Amen.
God has good things stored up, prepared, and ready for us. Hallelujah. I don't know if everybody understands that. He got good things stored up, ready, and prepared for us. This building was prepared for me to lead it. It was just prepared for that. I remember the owner of this building. I don't know if you guys remember. It used to be a furniture store. It used to be a furniture store here in this building. But the owner of the furniture store, before he built this building, he had a building on Main Street, a little small building. I knew the guy, knew him kind of well, and I went into his store one day because we were thinking about buying his old store. When he told me, he said, well, I'm not going to be here that long. He said, but I'm going to build a building down the road. And something just came up to me, and I told the man, I said, well, I thank you for building me a building. And I was just joking with the man.
Uh-huh.
I ain't know him that well. And he laughed, I laughed, and just went on. But in the fullness of time, I thank God let him stay here for 10 years. But in the fullness of time, God just turned it over to us. But the reality is God built it for us.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand that. I don't know if you believe that. I told that man, I said, yeah, I thank God that God's got you building us a building. I didn't really mean that. I was just being facetious. But I think maybe God put that in my heart.
Amen.
I don't know. God has plenty on deposit to make every one of us wealthy. Wealthy beyond our highest dream. Free beyond our highest imagination. Healed, whole, complete. With our family is intact. God's not going to run out. His goodness is so vast, he's not going to run out at all. Let's look at God's conversation with Moses about his goodness. Because he talked to Moses about his goodness. But I don't think Moses really understood it, but he experienced some things that God let him experience. Go with me, if you got your Bible, to Exodus 33. And we're going to be looking at verse 18 to 23. And Moses said, I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Verse 19. And this is what God said. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, Moses. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, Moses, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock, Moses, and it shall come to pass while my glory pass by you, Moses, that I will put you in a cliff of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, only the back parts. But my face shall you not see or will not be seen. He said, I'm going to look at it a little bit. In other words, what was God saying? God was saying, Moses, you better stand back just a little bit. Moses, you better just give me a little bit of the room. I believe God was saying to Moses, what I'm about to show you, Moses, is so good, so powerful, I'm going to have to hide some of it from you. I can only let you see a little bit, Moses. And as we've seen in the story of Moses, the goodness of God and the glory of God are practically synonymous. God's goodness is everywhere. It's too big for Moses to see. I don't know what would have happened to him if he would have seen it, but he couldn't comprehend that. So God said, I'm going to just let you experience a little bit of my goodness. And for those of us that are sitting here and hearing this message today, most of us, if not all of us, are already experiencing some of God's goodness. See, the devil will make you think that it's you. You got your situation lined up the way you want it. No, you did that. You got this job. You got this money. You got this business because of who you are. No, 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 no. It was the goodness of God. Amen. He had a reason. He had a reason. He had a reason. Are you with me? Amen. He had a reason. He had a reason to bless you. And it wasn't about you, and it wasn't about me. Come on now, God's got a bigger reason than that. God wants people to see something that they didn't see before. Hallelujah. In fact, the word glory in Hebrews means to be heavy with everything good. Hallelujah. You know, it's just such a good feeling just to be living in the shadow of God, living in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Well, you can truly say, listen, you can wake up every morning and say, I'm out of debt. My needs are met. And I have what?
Plenty more.
You know what it feels like. Hallelujah. If you know what it feels like, say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't know what it feels like, just keep worshiping God. Keep getting closer and closer and closer to God. Because God's not holding something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And those that have surrendered their will to God, come on now, and shown to God and demonstrated to God their love for God and their willingness to obey him, he's blessed them. He's blessed them. Don't you dare settle for religion. Religion don't give you nothing. When I say religion, I'm just talking about man-made methods of displaying religiosity, I guess, for another word. Don't settle for that. You need a relationship with God. That's what you need. You need a relationship with God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm getting to the point now where I'm not bashful in conversation when I see that it's needed to tell people, hey, you know what? If you don't change, you're going to hell. You know, people don't want to hear about them going to hell. They say, the preacher cussing me out. I ain't cussing you out. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, there's no other way to get there.
Amen.
They're no other way. Now, you can't go to God and say, well, God, I was a faithful churchgoer. I can hear the angels laughing now, saying, so what? So what? Did you invite Jesus Christ into your life? If not, listen to me. You're going to bust hell wide open. That's just the reality of that thing. It's just the way it is. Some people get mad when you tell them that, but that's just a fact. The Jewish people understood that it was God's goodness that would deliver them. Come on now. It wasn't the fact that they had been slaves for 400 years and they deserved to be let go and be delivered. No, it was God's goodness. Amen. It's not how much you go to church or how much you read your Bible or how much work you do inside the church. Listen, no, it's God's goodness. And we need to remember that. Hallelujah. His goodness would bless them, talking about the Jews, and bring them to victory. Amen. They knew that. They knew it was God's goodness. That is why in battle, when they depended upon the glory of God to go before them and defeat their enemies, they would shout. You know what they would shout? They would shout, for the Lord is good. Come on now. And his mercy endures how long? Forever. In battle, they would shout that. Hallelujah. They would shout it, all of them shouting that. For the Lord is good, and his mercies endure it forever. That ought to become our shout. Hallelujah. Early in the morning, come on. Right after you brush your teeth. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endure it forever. Hallelujah. His goodness never ends, folks. It's just so vast. It's just so bad. So, listen, I have to laugh about this thing. I don't know about you, but I have to laugh about this thing, man. You know, I think about God's relationship with me. I'm saying, you let me get saved? Hallelujah. In my mind, I'm saying I don't deserve to be close to a God. I don't deserve that. Because in my natural mind, because of all that I've done, all that I said, all that I've been in the past, how can I get saved? God said, I ain't saving you because of what you did or what you didn't do. I'm saving you because I'm a good God. Amen. Are you with me? God's goodness. It takes you a while to really understand that. It takes you a while to really, really understand that. Let's look at the New Testament confirmation of God's goodness. You see, God is good in the Old Testament and he's good in the New Testament. The word of God says that our new covenant with God, that the new covenant that you and I have is better than what the people had under the old covenant. That's what he said. Amen. It's better. It's better. Yes, it is. Folks had to keep all those laws. Come on. And at the end of the year, they had to sacrifice something, you know, go to lamb or something. To try to put their sins on that animal. You don't have to do none of that. Why? Because you got a better covenant. Yes, let me take you to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. If nothing else, you need to write these scriptures down. Go home and look at them when you got a little bit more time. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says, but now has he obtained, talking about us, a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Let me tell you something. Our covenant is better. Why? Because it includes all the promises of natural provision plus the spiritual blessings of the new birth. The folks in the Old Testament wish they had what we got. Why is God's covenant better for us? Because of his goodness. Ha. I'm just trying to get you to understand today. Hallelujah. The vastness of God's goodness. Hallelujah. I'm so glad of that. Amen? Amen. I don't care what you do. It won't make God turn his back on you. Because that's he's got that kind of goodness. Are you with me? Now, let me tell you something. You can mistreat me, and I may put up with it. But I will get to a point where I'll say, I don't bother with that person no more. You will do the same thing. But not God. That's right. Not God. Mm-hmm. If God would cut us off because of who we were or what we did, this place would be empty. God's goodness is vast, folks. Amen? Hallelujah. It's vast. Let's take a look at a New Testament promise of blessing for those who are saved. And I want to take you now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, we don't understand what we got. We think we just got religion. Too many of confessing Christians go to church because they want their neighbor to think that they're a good person. Amen. You better stop worrying about your neighbor like that. And even if they thought you were a good person, so what? They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. So why even worry about it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't even know it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done it. But as it is written, I want you to get this part. But as it is written, verse 9, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. I want to dance here today. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If I only knew. Listen, I can't talk about you. I can talk about me all day long. If I only knew, if I only knew that God was just had a plan to surround me with people full of love like you, if I only knew that God would give me a beautiful wife in the fullness of time, amen. Are you with me? Amen. To live out the rest of my life. Amen. If I only knew that God would make sure that I had more than enough to be comfortable with here on planet Earth, if I only knew that God would allow me to just get so close to him, that whatever answer and whatever question I had, he was right there for me 24/7, 7 days a week. If I only knew, I'd have rushed in a lot quicker than I did. Amen. I'd have rushed in a lot quicker than I did. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Why? For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The goodness of God is so vast, folks. It's just so vast. What is that saying, preacher? This says that you and I will never be able to see with our natural eyes and hear with our natural ears the whole truth about the goodness of God and his benefits. Whatever you're experiencing now, let me tell you something. It's just a taste of what God's got for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just a taste. I don't even know if it could be even measured. I don't care how much you got right now. I don't even think it could be measured what God's got for you. Amen. You think because you're comfortable, those of you that are comfortable, you think you're comfortable and this is it, this is all I'm going to have? No. God wants to bless you, not just because of you. He wants you to be in a position where you can do his will, where you can bless others, where you can tell your story. And people will be drawn to him through you. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the next step of God's goodness in your life? Or you just have enough? Hallelujah. 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 That's why when the devil come to me and said, Dan, this is going to be your last week, your last month, your last year, I tell him, you're a lying wonder. I ain't got all my stuff yet. God's got a lot more for me. He's got a lot more for me. Not only to give me, but for me to do. Amen. Why? Because his goodness is so vast. So vast. So vast. So vast. Ah. Oh, if we can only grasp a hold of that thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has blessings and benefits prepared and ready. You know what God wants from us? He wants us to be a living memorial of his goodness. Amen. He wants people to be whispering about you. Amen. Listen, how they get that? How they get that? either talking about the group or talking about your family or talking about you individually. How did he get that? He wants us to be a living memorial of his goodness. Amen. You can't tell people about God's goodness. Listen to me. Listen to me. And all you got is two cans of pork and beans. You can't do it. And then you're complaining about the pork and beans. God wants us to be a living memorial of his goodness. Hallelujah. Let me take you to Psalm 92. I'm going to look at three verses here, starting with verse 12. He says, the righteous, everybody say that's me.
That's me.
Everybody say that's me.
That's me.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Ha! He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Don't you dare sell them for religious services. Hallelujah. This is the house of the Lord, and you and I are supposed to flourish.
Amen.
In our communities.
Yes, Lord.
Because of who we are, not because of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit. In their old age.
Amen.
See, when I read that, God said, look, don't worry about age. Don't worry about age. Don't worry about age. See, I know in 4 years I'll be 80 years old. You know what happens in 80 years old? I get another assignment. I don't get retired.
Amen.
I don't get another pension. I get another assignment. Amen. See, the world got us thinking that at a certain age, we need to sit down and be set aside. Well, how can that be? How can that be? God called Moses at 80 years of age.
Amen.
To go and confront a Pharaoh that was in ultimate control of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
80. See, if it was you or I, we would say, God, he's 80. He can't do nothing. I know God's answer would be, he don't have to. I got it. Amen? I got it. I got it. Amen. I was telling my wife, I was looking in the Bible about retirement. In our minds, retirement means stop working. I said, I just can't find anybody in the Bible that retired. They may have gotten another assignment. Come on now. But they kept working till they died. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here?
Amen.
We don't have to adapt the world's way of thinking. And I'm not telling anybody here that they have to, listen, that they have to stay on their job till they die. I'm not saying that. But there'll come a time when God may simply want to give you another assignment that's just as challenging as the last assignment, or if not more. But he'll never worry about your age.
Amen.
That's what the scripture said. He says, they shall still bring forth fruit. That means being productive in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. They are what? Living memorials to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God's goodness is so vast. You can't really comprehend it. We can't really comprehend it. God wants to be so free to bring the blessings upon us that we are blessed coming in and blessed going out. Hallelujah. He wants our lives overflowing with good, where you have more than enough. He wants people to look at us and see that we are different. Not that our nose are turned up at anybody, amen?
Amen.
Because if you're really close to God, you're going to just love everybody.
Amen.
God wants people to see that we are not worried all the time. Just worried. He wants people to see that we are not depressed.
Amen.
He don't want that. He wants people to see that we are prosperous when the economy is up and when the economy is down. It don't mean nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Our economy is about to change. It's about to change. One of the things that you're going to see is higher and higher inflation. You're going to see, you're definitely going to see another pandemic come. It's coming because it affects the economy so badly. You're going to see people not working. You're going to see people laid off. Come on now. I'm not prophesying this. I'm just telling you what I see. You're going to see that. You're going to see people with hard times. Remember a while ago I told you to be prepared for relatives to come and live with you?
Amen.
You remember that?
Yes.
All right, that ain't going away. Amen? But that's what's on the horizon. But what this scripture says, come on now. It says, listen, what did I say it here? I go, hallelujah. What was I saying? He wants people to see that we are prosperous when the economy is up and when it's down. So whatever happens to the economy in the country that you and I are living in now, got nothing to do with us.
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with us.
Amen.
If you're prosperous now, you're going to be prosperous then.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But what it's going to have something to do with, that prosperity that you're experiencing, going to have to be shared with somebody else.
Amen.
Somebody that doesn't know God like you know God. Somebody that's not in a position with God like you in God. Amen. What do you think all this prosperity is for? For you to just stick it in the bank and die and leave it for the kids or whatever? Hey, God is positioning us to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I laugh about it right now, amen? But you wait till those folks start piling up your house. But I think God's going to prepare you for that. He's preparing you today for that. It doesn't mean it's going to happen next week or next month or next year. But we see what's happening in our economy. And it's going to get tighter, folks. It's going to get tighter. That's just all part of the plan. It's going to get tighter. But you know what? When I look at that fact and the fact that it's going to get tighter, what I see is more and more opportunities to witness. Are you with me? That's what that's going to be for you and for me. It's going to be more and more opportunities to witness. Somebody's going to want to know, why aren't you suffering? Well, I'm not suffering because I serve the one and almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. The one who's blessed me yesterday, blessing me today, and then promised to bless me tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. That's what that's all about. That's why God wants us to be that living memorial. Hallelujah. He wants people to see that nothing takes us off our path.
Amen.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He wants people to see that we just keep going on our way, blessed and full of joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's going to happen, folks. I'm telling you. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you it's going to happen. All right? I don't care who. Hallelujah. 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 I don't have dementia. Amen. But every now and then I just get happy inside.
Hallelujah.
Do you realize what had happened to us, to our country here in the last 8 years? Listen to me. Let me tell you what happened to the country. In 2016, Donald Trump, you know, very proud man. Wasn't safe, but very proud kind of guy. The type of guy that say, you ain't going to beat me. And I don't believe anybody really took him serious about running for president of the United States. But he did. He did. He did. And I don't believe that the competition really took him to be serious. And I think, I need to share this with you. I really think that they were caught off guard because they could have done some more things to keep him out of office. But they didn't. And all of a sudden, he wound up being our president. I don't think he was saved at the time. But I think he had a good heart, but he was very, you know, kind of braggish type of guy just to do that. But during those 4 years, because he was a businessman, he was just used to winning in business. And he did things that really prospered the country. Maybe not because of his loyalty to America. I don't know. I would never say, because I really don't know. I would probably give it more toward his business side. You know, a businessman just, you know, he's just used to doing things a certain way, and you just see something wrong, you try to correct it, and you just kind of go with it and just do it. But when 2020 came along, I believe that those that's moving the whole world toward a one world government say, all right, you ain't getting in there no more. Do you see how hard they're working to try to keep this one guy out? Yeah. Yeah. All the stupid stuff that they're doing. You say, wait, all these candidates, and you putting all this effort on this one guy.
Amen.
Why? I believe that whoever's controlling the thing said never no more. We ain't letting them get in there. Not just Donald Trump, but anybody that wants to get this thing right. They ain't getting in there. They're not getting in there. These people got a plan that by the next 7 years, 2030, that we will be in a one world government situation. They're in control. It's obvious. You know, I encourage you to vote. As you vote, ask God who to vote for. All right, don't line yourself up with any political party per se. Don't do it. Just ask God who to vote for, and then go on about your business and just do his thing. God's going to win every single time, folks. You just need to be aware of what's happening all around you. But I'm convinced that the powers to be have said, no more of that. Nobody else slips in on us unless we're in control of them. Nobody else will get in there. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think so. But you and I, our obligation is to seek God. Number one, we need to vote. All right, don't go home and say, you know what the pastor says, so we know you vote. Don't you dare say that. You vote. That's your responsibility. But we don't know all these candidates, but God does.
Amen.
So ask God, and then follow what?
The peace.
Follow the peace. Hallelujah. God wants his people, God wants people to see that we're not depressed. He wants people to see that we're prosperous when the economy is up and when the economy is down. He wants people to see that nothing takes us off our path. He wants people to see that we just keep on going, like I said, on our way, blessed and full of joy of the Lord. Remember today that God's love has no limits.
Amen.
It's fast.
Yes, it is.
It's fast. I don't expect you to understand it no more than I understand it, but I know it for a fact because this is what the word is saying. So why not listen and obey his voice? Why not get more understanding of God's goodness? Why not develop faith to believe his goodness? Some of us, we don't have, simply because we haven't developed the faith. How do I get that faith, preacher? And I close with this. The Bible said faith come by hearing, and hearing by you get into that word. You find something God has promised you. You memorize that and you meditate on it day and night until you see it come to pass. And I guarantee you, when you get to that level where you believe and start walking in it, hallelujah. I think one of my favorite scriptures is Mark 11:23. Can we put that on the screen? Mark 11:23. I'll wait. Hallelujah. For verily I say to you that whosoever, everybody say that's me.
That's me.
That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and I believe he was pointing at a mountain. Is a mountain small or big?
It's big.
He says, if you say, be thou removed, mountain, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you said. Now, when that word he there, you put the word you there, all right, or I there. You know, this is Jesus right out of his mouth. He's saying this. He's saying this is the kind of power you got. This is the kind of power you got. So that tells me if we're limited into what we have, if we don't have enough, it's simply because we don't believe God. We don't believe God. And the very next verse says what? Go to verse 24. Therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Therefore, since Jesus said it, since this has been said by God, therefore I say to you, what things soever you want. What do you want today? When you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them. And what happened? You believe that? God is a good God. God's goodness is so, so vast.
Amen.
So vast. He's not going to run out. He's always going to have more than enough for you and for me.
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for reminding us of your goodness. Hallelujah. Of your goodness and of your mercy and of your kindness. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for letting us know that you'll never run out of goodness, Lord. Now, Father God, we just ask for mercy. Mercy on our level of belief right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that you take us all higher. Take us all higher to another plane of faith and belief in you. Give us a desire, Lord God, to just study your word like never before. Hallelujah. To memorize, to meditate on your word day and night. Father God, right now, dispense some of your goodness, Lord God. Continue to dispense some of your goodness into our lives. We understand now more than ever, Lord God, that that goodness is coming our way, not for our desires, but for your plans to be accomplished through us. And we surrender ourselves to you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.